Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless
you. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye's look at this week in the politics in the Capitol. There was an election, J.R.
Yes.
And I know we'll talk later about the turnout, but DPI Superintendent Tony Evers reelected 70% of the vote. Mm-hmm. Now, are you surprised at that 70%? No.
Not really, because if you look at like the pullback, like big picture, that's the mark he hit in the primary. So he set a very high bar of what was going on. And then two, there was no support for Lowell Holtz from outside groups at all. Now, Evers outraised
Holtz. Were those self-inflicted wounds, mm-hmm. given emails written on school time? Excuse me.
Holtz was outraised 2-1. Greater Wisconsin Committee spent $225,000 on a TV buy, I believe, in Milwaukee and Green Bay, praising Evers. And Holtz got nothing. There was no presence. He had, like, I think one radio ad that I saw that featured a couple female Republican lawmakers, but there was no concerted effort from the conservative groups to help Lowell Holtz. Well, if you have no real help and talk radio in Milwaukee is not really ginned up for you, mm-hmm. you get 30% of the vote in a statewide race, nonpartisan election.
Tony Evers' statement, we have high graduation rates, suspensions are down, attendance is up, number of kids earning college credit in high school is an all-time high, but then he listed these problems, serious challenges. The larger share of our kids live in poverty. One in five has a mental health need. The achievement gap between black and white students is too high. We have a growing teacher shortage. So that's clearly where he'd like to go. But let's realistically ask, how powerful is the DPI job?
Not very. I mean, you can the administrative rules process, once they pass a law, you get to try and implement it.
So the Supreme Court upheld his statutory rights.
So you draw up rules. But really, the purse strings are controlled by the legislature and the governor. Laws are controlled by them. They just kind of tinker with the details. Now, he has a soapbox to go out or a bully pulpit to go out and talk about issues that are near and dear to his heart. But in terms of, like, is Governor Walker and all of a sudden, like, do Tony Evers' bidding? No. Did Walker put $649 million in K-12 because of Tony Evers? No. So we'll see. I mean, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a reinforcement of Evers' vision, he said, versus what Holtz offered. Holtz was very critical about the achievement gap, all these problems that he sees. He made no apologies.
He accused DPI of institutional racism because of failing to address the achievement gap.
And he said he made no apologies for how he focused on issues. But one of his quotes was, in his conference call late Tuesday night, was, there's only so much you can do when you're shaking hands. And the implication was, I didn't get any help, I didn't have the money, so I couldn't do much. Well, the problem was, his campaign was not well run. I've talked to people about this from going back to January. His campaign was not well run. These self-inflicted wounds with this discussion with John Humphreys and their challenger to Evers about, okay, if you drop out and I win, you'll get a job working for DPI for six figures and a driver and all these powers. That stuff did not go over very well. And conservative groups, when I talked to them, they were like, there's some issues there. We're not sure it's a good investment. Because once Evers at 70% in the primary, they came, okay, we have to spend X number of dollars just to get us back to, like, maybe even.
Yeah.
Is it worth the investment not knowing if you get over the hump in this environment?
I think you reported that both Peter Barker and Jennifer Schilling were at Tony's victory party. Can this be seen as a victory for Wisconsin Democrats who haven't had very many wins lately?
Well, it is when they have the better candidate on the ballot, yes. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, Republicans have racked up a string of wins in Wisconsin. Don't forget that Ann Walsh Bradley won re-election as Supreme Court Justice in 2015. Barack Obama won Wisconsin by 7 points in 2012. Timmy Baldwin won in 2012.
2012.
It's not like they've had no success since Act 10 happened. But this does underscore, it's not just about the letter behind your name. It's about the quality of the candidate and the campaign that you run.
Okay. And, you want to talk the Assembly? 64-35 RDs. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also on the ballot, Justice Annette Ziegler, unopposed. So she's obviously getting her second 10-year term. No big surprises there?
No. What this does is it locks in a conservative majority, the Supreme Court, for at least until 2023. If my math is right, because if I'm going through here now.
Gableman in 18.
So progressives have to pick off Gableman in 18.
Yeah.
They have to defend Shirley Abrams' seat in 19. I don't know if Shirley's going to run again or not. Have to defend that seat. If they pick out Gavin, that gets him to 4-3. Then they would have to beat Daniel Kelly in 2020.
20, yes.
To get it. So here's the thing. Democrats would tell you that they didn't feel good about taking on Ziegler this year. They weren't sure they had the money. They weren't sure they had the candidate. They were just coming off these bad losses in 2016. So they figured they're going to give her a pass. But by giving her a pass, they lock in that conservative majority again until at least that long. I mean, that's kind of tough.
But don't you expect the same forces that passed on Ziegler to come out pretty aggressively at Abelman?
Galen, yeah.
A year from now?
Because for several reasons, Galen's views being more political than Ziegler was. He is
there was a complaint filed
happy
now?
Partisan warrior. He's had a complaint filed against him for
attending
his name
a GOP
attached.
Function?
I think it was. I don't know if he actually attended. His name was attached to it, but I don't know if he went in the end.
Okay.
But he also got hit with that ethics complaint from his 2008 9 campaign.
With Lewis Butler.
Campaign with Lewis Butler with his TV ad. Now, it never went anywhere. The court deadlocked, but they see him as being more vulnerable. So now what I expect then is to see candidates by sometime this summer announcing plans to take on Gavin if they're serious, because you got to raise some money to take him on. If we're in December or November of 2017 and nobody's announced, that's a problem for progressives.
Are you hearing names? Too early to float names?
None that I've talked to yet to know I can report.
Okay. There was a dozens of school referendums on the ballot Tuesday, and I find the results intriguing. I'm going in the weeds a little bit. You have to break this into school bonding referendums, authorizing new construction, occurring, reoccurring, and non-reoccurring, here I go in the weeds, to exceed levy limits. But some of the dollar signs that were approved by voters, let's just take a look at Green Bay School District approved $233, almost a quarter of $1 billion. But when you break that down, they said, school district, you can spend $16.5 million to exceed the levy limits for 10 years, ergo $165 million, and then $68 million in building constructions. But the Verona School District, amazing, 183 in total referendums that passed, including 181 for a new high school and a new swimming pool and athletic field for those high schools, and exceed the levy limits. But to be fair, most of it's going to be generated by the TIF district wrapped around the exploding EPIC.
So EPIC, that goes away, so it offsets the increase a great deal. But what's been interesting about these referendums are that Scott Walker put the bulk of the new money in his budget into K-12. Because these referendums are a sign that voters back home want more money for schools. He's put more money into schools in the last few budgets, but it's largely been to keep spending flat. Because remember, we have a mix of property tax dollars and state aid to get how much you can spend per kid, right?
Yeah.
He's been pumping money in to keep that property tax bill flat or decline from where it was when he took office. That's not going to work anymore. That's why he put the money in K-12 this budget, because he realizes from his listening tour, people want money into schools. The hope from Walker's perspective is that by putting this money in, you will lessen the need to go to referendum to make schools work. We'll see if that happens.
Okay, but I walked out yesterday. I worked with the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, and I said, which is really deep into this, and I said from January 2016 through April 4, last week, amount of referendums that passed just on bonding, forget about exceeding the debt, $1.8 billion. And so what does that mean? That is what Wisconsin corporations pay in income taxes every 2 years. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And just on Tuesday, bonding alone, forget about exceeding the levy limits, $464 million. So my question, will there be any effect on the governor's proposal to spend $549 million, an additional? Do you see any linkage there?
In
way? K-12 aids.
Well, I mean, the link is that they're putting that money in because of bonding, but you mean it's going to impact where the money goes? That's the one thing. Republicans are talking about right now that they don't want to see if you exceed your levy limits or approve it for referendum, they don't want to see you be rewarded by the formula. I'm not sure how that's all going to work out. We're also seeing bills that keep popping up every cycle, every session now, of ways to limit when schools go to referendum, what election they go to referendum. Because we have the February spring election, the April spring election, the August primary. They want to, for example, keep it just the general election.
General election dates.
Things like that. How often can you go back? So there have been a number of proposals that are trying to rein this in because Republicans aren't happy with what they're seeing in terms of schools exceeding the revenue limits and hitting taxpayers up for this stuff.
But it's just amazing to me the number of referendums that are passing. It's just very intriguing because it's voters like you and I raising our property taxes. I live in the Monona Grove district. It passed. My property taxes went up. It's just a fascinating debate.
You know, but education has long been a focus for or priority for Wisconsin. I mean, we're the first state with kindergarten, right? I mean,
yes.
This is kind of been an education state, so in some ways that makes sense. It's part of our heritage.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. This week, the Senate passed the high-capacity wells bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal, Senate Bill 76, because it allows the repair, the replacement, the reconstruction of existing high-capacity wells. And when you consider that high-capacity wells can pump up to or more than 100,000 gallons a day, it's a really big issue.
Yeah.
And the prospects in the Assembly, what are you hearing?
Robin Voss said he hopes to have a vote in early May. I talked to Representative Scott Cruz from the Central Sands area. He was a big piece of this last session because
he
wasn't happy with what was proposed. The Senate
voted
passed
against the bill that went to the Senate.
Yeah, that whole thing. So one bill passed the Senate. There's another version of the Assembly. They couldn't get anything done. What's different this time around is that Scott Fitzgerald, the majority in the Senate, is a co-author of this bill.
Yes.
He told us in January, Inauguration Day, this is a priority. He got it done in early April. It's going to the Assembly. Robin Voss says we're going to have a vote, I hope, in May. Krug is on board. The signs are there. It's going to happen. Now, for Democrats, they're complaining that you're privatizing water, essentially. You're favoring one user over another, which is not right in their mind in the state constitution. And by doing this, you're taking away the ability of the state to ever review these. Now, Krug, his point is the Central Sands region is one of the most impacted by all this, right? You'll find examples of bodies of water that are drying up or lower than they were before. The question is why. And he told me he's got an 8-foot-long bar in his basement that is covered with studies from the 50s to the 90s about water use and levels in that region. He's like, I can't get a conclusion of this well caused this issue. What he wants, an amendment that's added to this bill, tightens the focus of these studies that DNR has to do now.
Yeah.
Looking at several regions of the state, what's going on, how are they impacted? He's like, I want to do regulation with a scalpel to know where is there a problem, if there is one, and how do we address it? And that's what he feels like got him a better spot with his bill, is having that kind of knowledge going forward.
Okay, but answer me this question. Why isn't the new Republican senator who took out Julie Lassa, Pat Tustin, mm-hmm. why isn't he a sponsor? Why isn't Krug a sponsor? Any theories on that?
But Tustin got the amendment to change the study area to make him happy. And I talked to him about that. He said that got me more on board with this bill, by getting that amendment, because this is a crucial issue for them because this is the era that they represent.
Okay, but just a P.S., thanks to the Cap Times for reporting, this is one of the most heavily lobbied bills last session, and we don't have totals for this session yet, but $1.5 million, thanks to the Cap Times, was spent lobbying this bill by the vegetable growers, by the Pork Association. The largest money was a Wisconsin Farm Bureau, which Cap Times reports, $957,000, and the cranberry growers, $92,000. That is a lot of money, because you just reported the new lobbying total was $62.7 million.
Up about $5 million from the previous session. Yeah,
you just reported that. And the groups against it, $1.5 million arguing for it, pushing for it, groups against it, $126,000.
And what Fitzgerald said on the floor was that, you know, ag is a very important industry in Wisconsin. They need certainty. And that was his argument, that they need certainty. And it still is a balanced bill in his mind and will provide that certainty to keep the industry growing.
Well, there was some debate yesterday, some consideration of the Republicans forcing this through in the Assembly. Did you hear that yesterday? And to get everybody to agree to go home without pulling motions, the Republicans said, okay, we'll not bring up the Senate-passed high-capacity bill. JR, as we speak, there's a Joint Finance Committee holding a public hearing in Berlin.
The third one this week.
Third one. And we have three more, April, not next week, but April 18th, Spooner, April 19th in Ellsworth, April 21st in Marinette. I always kind of enjoyed those. They get a little old after two decades. Because real people come out, and they do take this on the road, and it's just fascinating. So we called from the State Fair Park public hearing up four different speakers bringing different perspectives. And we went out of our way to get people without titles, just emotional people caring about specific issues, Governor Walker's budget would spend $76 billion. That's a lot of money. It would touch everyone in this state. So listen to about 2 minutes, a little bit more than 2 minutes, on four speakers at the State Fair Park public hearing.
What we pay for 1 year for one individual to stay incarcerated, we could actually educate a community. What are they going to do if we don't make an effort to give them an ability to take care of their families and to have dignity? Until we do that, we have got to stop calling ourselves corrections and start calling ourselves confusion. Because I'm confused as to why we think that a community can lift itself up when we still put penalties on it and we take funding away from it. And if you haven't looked, it's reaching out into the suburb and the rural areas now. So that should get somebody off of their hineys and realize that we have got to fund programs to help these individuals restore their lives.
The Medicaid reimbursement rate has been 1608 since 2008. So in 10 years, we have not seen an increase in our reimbursement rate. Every day, trained caregivers throughout our state are helping families, neighbors, friends, and your constituents with the most basic needs of getting in and out of bed, bathing, dressing, preparing meals, toileting, and getting ready for work, all things that you and I take for granted that we're able to do independently every day. However, for my niece, Olivia, who is 13 and has severe nonverbal autism, these caregivers provide so much more. Olivia requires supervision 24 hours a day. My brother and his wife are committed to keeping Olivia in their home and out of an institution for the rest of her life. Sorry. However, they need support from caregivers in order to do so. By providing them with the 2 to 3 hours a day of care, we're saving the state hundreds of thousands of dollars down the road by keeping her out of an institution. We appreciate the fact that this budget includes a 2% increase for the Medicaid reimbursement rate, but 2% is not enough. We need 15%.
People, we have to fund it. We can't keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. We have to finish the zoo freeway. And it's just crazy that nobody will fund this and complete the project. Somebody here, please, you know, step up, man up, woman up, raise the damn gas tax.
One of my students came up to me and said, Mrs. Meyer, today has been a great day. You bought us donuts and orange juice because we raised our reading scores. And when I get home today, we're going to have some food in the house because my mom got paid. Food is only in his household for 2 or 3 days after his mom gets paid. So I reached out to the social worker in my building, and by the end of the day, he connected that family with resources. My principal made the choice to fund a social worker. Yet, because of that choice, I have 39 students in my class. We should not have to make that kind of a choice. We should have well-funded public schools so that I can address the needs of all my students and with a smaller class size, and I can have a social worker to address those imminent needs.
So, JR, why should real people who have an issue in the budget take off from work, take off from, you know, child care with the kids, why should they go to Spooner, Ellsworth, Marinette, not next week, but the week after, if they only get 2 minutes to talk about their issue?
Because if you get enough people together, you can really impact the view of the budget. The biggest example is 2 years ago, I can think of, folks who are involved in the IRIS program. These people have severe limitations, but they're allowed to live in their homes because they have help from the state.
Right.
Their testimony was some of the most compelling and emotional 2 years ago.
It was.
Governor Walker wanted to move a more managed care approach to that system, and their testimony swayed the committee of, we don't want to deal with this stuff right now. This is too hot to touch. We're going to walk away from it.
So sometimes that personal testimony, mm-hmm. person in a wheelchair brought there by their parent or their sibling or something, that works, doesn't
it? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And just a programming note, Wisconsin Eye is carrying these budget hearings live. So April 18th, Spooner, April 19th, Ellsworth, April 21st, Marinette, Wisconsin Eye will be there. Okay, JR, it's the cheesy part of the show. Senator Mark Lyne and Representative Nowak, I think this started in the Mineral Point schools.
Yes, fourth grade
school.
Class.
Okay. The Assembly 96 zip, mm-hmm. no opposition, designating cheese, I think, as the official state dairy product. We ranked number one in cheese in 2016, 3 billion pounds, 26% of the national total. And I just got a little interested in this. So 3 billion pounds, 1 billion of which was mozzarella. There's 138 cheese plants. What can you add to this?
This proves that if you are a grade school class and you have a member that represents your school who's in the majority of either house, you can get a bill done. If you open up your blue book, which I've got a blue book from every session that I've been here, we have a state official state dairy product now. We have a state bird.
Bee.
We have a state fossil. Not sure if you knew that one.
Tribalite? No, go ahead.
But the state fruit, cranberry. But these often start because of a grade school class says, hey, I've got an idea. And oh, my local lawmaker, what do you think about this? Although Corey Mason did get the state pastry, the Kringle, put in the state budget one time. So got to give him credit for that.
Well, and there's a certain element of purity to this. Mm-hmm. You have kids come up with an idea. Okay, how does our capital work? What do we have to do? And if you're Senator Mark Lane or Representative Novak, are you not going to champion this?
I know. They don't have to lobby or produce campaign contributions either. So
that's true. Okay, time for your stock report. Go.
So, Rise, you have Tammy Baldwin. Let's be honest. She faces a series of landmines between now and next fall to win re-election. But there are signs she's firing up the campaign finance operation. This week, her campaign said they raised $2.2 million the first 3 months of 2017.
And you reported that on January 1 she had one. So this is an ad. Okay, go.
$2.4 million cash on hand. So rough math, she probably spent around $800,000. We'll see when the final numbers come in. So she's spending a lot of money at the same time. I would call it the burn rate. But that's to build infrastructure. And infrastructure often is the grassroots operation. The letters, the emails, the collecting the contact information, so you can hit those guys up for $25 and $50 time and time again. Now, it's also, if you look at where Ron Johnson was at the same point in 2015, mm-hmm. she's about $1 million ahead, both on cash in hand and how much she raised. It's not going to be enough right now. She's got to keep going. Russ Feingold outraised Ron Johnson and still lost, but this is a good sign of the fundraising prowess that she has. She can raise money from a national network, the only openly gay member of the U.S. Senate. I mean, there is a network of donors out there that will help her out when re-election. She is going to be a target. The Toma VA is going to be a problem. And right now, her potential GOP field, Kevin Nicholson and Nicole Schneider, are having what I call the talk show primary, where they're getting the once over from talk show host in Milwaukee because they don't have a record, but they have social media. Nicole Schneider's got some posts that have been looked at by folks going, is she really pure on these issues? Kevin Nicholson used to be a Democrat. In fact, was not just a Democrat, but was the president of the National College Democrats. Spoke at the 08 National Convention, I think, a speech on
08?
C-SPAN, 08 or 12, one of the two. You can go find, I think, 08. So they're being examined. Are these guys up to snuff? Leah Vukmir's out there, very passionate, very aggressive in getting her name out there. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but right now, give Baldwin props for the money she raised.
Tammy's rising because she's had 6 years to fine-tune a fundraising machine, and you think she's done that pretty well.
She's revving up right now. Now, again, it's not going to be enough. She's got to do a lot more, but it's a good start for her.
Okay, and mixed.
So turnout, the Ethics Commission will no longer predict, like, we're going to have X turnout.
They said what?
They'll give you a range.
Yeah, 14 to 18.
13 to 18. We hit 16. What was interesting was we looked at the top 10 counties in terms of turnout. I think it was down actually from 2013. What's interesting about that is back in February, we saw a huge surge out of places for February compared to the last DPI race in those states or Supreme Court primary on the ballot. And the conclusion then was, well, there are all these progressives who aren't happy about Donald Trump, and they're out there. It's their first opportunity to express themselves. Yeah. So we're not seeing that as much. Although Dane County did have a surge of like 20,000 more voters, I think it was, this April versus April 13. So there's some still passion out there, but it wasn't like a huge whew compared to years past.
Mixed. Okay, falling.
So local transportation money.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Yesterday, the Joint Finance Committee says we're going to work off the governor's budget except in transportation. Now, what that means is we have a thing called the base budget. Base is current law. The Joint Finance Committee said we're going to work off of Walker's proposals to pump $640 million into K-12. That's a win for Governor Walker. That is the centerpiece of his budget. And it's acknowledgement by the Joint Finance members of, okay, we can't really message a way to cut down what Walker wants and still come out a winner. On transportation, though, to work it off of current law, which means Walker touted how local governments would get $77 million more of this budget, the most they've ever gotten. in aid. That doesn't happen right now. Now, the committee could put it back in, but their priorities right now, Robin Voss, who's a speaker, he wants 94 North South done. Business leaders in Milwaukee call for 94 East West done.
That was an interesting fight last week. For the State Fair Park budget hearing, you had business leaders saying, we want that $31 million back into the budget for East West from Miller Park to State Fair Park within hours, within minutes. Voss issued a statement saying, not at the expense of 94 running through my county. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Now, what's interesting, I talked to somebody yesterday about the reaction to Governor Walker's budget from education advocates and local governments. The education advocates said, look, we're getting all this money. Yay. You know, yeah, we would have divvied up a little bit differently than what he did. Mm-hmm. But this is a great thing. Local governments went, we want more. Because they're saying, once you take that $77 million and divvy it up across all these municipalities, I might get one more mile of roads or a couple more this or that. I mean, it's not a whole lot of money. So they're not going to get this. I'm going to guess they're not going to get the $77 million in the final budget that Republicans do. The question becomes, where do they squeeze other pieces of the budget for money for the transportation? Can they finance some kind of a package that raises fees or touches the gas tax despite Walker's veto threat? What happens? But the guess is it's not going to be on local transportation aid.
Okay, since you have tabbed as falling local transportation money, let's do a PS here. There was an advisory referendum, not binding, in Milwaukee County. Should we have a wheel tax for, excuse me, how much?
$60 is now 30, I believe it is. Want to double it. It failed.
Abley and the board approved 30. So when Milwaukee County voters were asked, hey, how about a $60 wheel tax, what happened?
72-28 against. So now, Abley said, regardless of what happened in the referendum, he's not going to be dissuaded from going to $60 or proposing it in 2018. Out in La Crosse, one bright spot for locals, there was a advisory referendum there about basically designated tourism area that you could have an additional tax on tourism-related businesses and use it for infrastructure. The catch is you need Walker lawmakers to sign off on Madison. So will they get that approval? But this is still the number one fight in the budget is transportation. Dale King had told us this week after the budget hearing in Platteville, he will have his package, his transportation package, the first week of May, roughly, somewhere around there.
His tax package, May 1, yeah.
So taxes, fee, whatever he's going to do, he's going to have it out there. Didn't really give us a whole lot of details, but so there would be like the federal swap idea, which is if you can save money by using state money rather than federal money, you do that. Probably oversimplifying it, but we're waiting for what's this going to look like. And oh, by the way, Governor Walker's still saying no new taxes.
Okay, but staying with the subject for just one more point. When Joint Finance announces we're going to work off the governor's budget except on the transportation, then we're going to work from the current base budget. Big victories for Speaker Voss?
Could be. Again, where do they find the money? How do they massage this thing? Will Robin get his 94? I think that is his number one priority is 94 North South.
Yes.
Can they find enough money to make him happy and get something significant done? Because I think there is, $30 million or something like small that Walker put in the budget to kind of bring it back to life. That wasn't enough, Robin said.
Okay. Now, things are pretty slow next week. In fact, Rewind's going to take a week off. But this is kind of the lull before the storm, isn't it? Because you go then back into three more public hearings, and then it gets down and dirty with votes by Joint Finance in the Capitol, right?
Last tentative plan we saw was first week of May we should be voting and stuck in that room twice a week, every week until it's done.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So we're gone next week. Thanks to you and Sean for holding up while I was spoiling grandkids. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for this week. We're back on March 21st.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.